Judges chapter 6, verses 11 and following. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel appeared to him and said, Yehovah, the Lord, Yehovah is with you. I find some humor in this from the perspective that we've already understand who the angel of the Lord is, right? We've already looked at multiple passages and we recognize that the angel of the Lord is the physical, visible manifestation of Yehovah, right? And we'll see more of that represented in this passage. But it's kind of humorous. You don't come in the room and go, Pete is with you, right? So I find some humor in the statement. Okay. We see that in Colossians. We also see in John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God except the Son. He hath revealed him, or however that verse goes. I would recommend, last week, the whole week is recorded. We've got it on CD. I've got it on my blog, notsob.com. It's on Hightail. You can get the link from Dan, and so we're recording and saving. So yeah, if you're new and you want to go back and do some review, or you need to go back and put pieces together, there you go. We've got it. The point being that no one has seen God and lived. We know that. We know that no one has at any time seen the Father. That's another verse. Or heard His voice. John chapter 5, verse 38 or 40, somewhere right in there, 46 maybe. So here he is. The angel of the Lord appears to him and says, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And Gideon doesn't recognize him. In fact, we realize once we read the passage that Gideon doesn't recognize him until the very end. And then he goes, oh no, I've seen Yehovah face to face. I'm going to die. We'll get to that, right? But coming on down, we're drawing this connection between the angel of the Lord and Yehovah. You come on down to verse 14 and it says, Yehovah looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? So we just said the angel of the Lord is sitting there. The angel of the Lord speaks with him, and it says the Lord said to him. Drawing this connection. He said to him, Gideon said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least of Manasseh, and I am the youngest of my father's house. But Yehovah said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Remember, one of the things we've noticed about the angel of the Lord is that he makes claims that only the Father can make. He says, I have sent you, right? He speaks with the full authority of the Godhead. He says, I will be with you, right? When else do we see just your regular run-of-the-mill angels? Not that there are run-of-the-mill angels, you understand, but you understand what I'm saying. I mean, Gideon doesn't come and say, I will be with you. He says, this is what the Lord says, right? He speaks for another, and yet here the angel speaks for himself. But there's more. He says, so Gideon says, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back and bring out my offering and lay it before you. Gideon goes and prepares a goat, and he prepares unleavened bread, matzah, and he comes and he brings it and he gives an offering. An angel, just your regular angel, would not accept an offering. Whoa, 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 whoa. And initially, that's the way this looks, but that's at the end, that's not what happens, because it's the angel that consumes it, and then it ascends in the smoke, right? Well, it says he vanishes from sight. Manoah, with Manoah in just a second, we'll see that he ascends from smoke. But if you come on down to verse 22, when Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Adonai Yehovah, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Yehovah said to him, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. And as we saw with Hagar, as we saw with, who was the other one we saw? Anyway, we recognize they understood that seeing God face to face was not, that would bring death. And yet here, because scripture elsewhere says, you know, no man has seen God and live, right? No man can see God and live. And yet right here he says, oh no, I've seen him face to face, panim el panim. Technically the Greek is mouth to mouth, intimate, up close and personal. That's the one. That's the one. He says that. And so we see this acknowledgement that the angel of the Lord here is God. Move on. Let's move on to Judges chapter 13 for the next one that I'd like to look at. And this is the next big, and the last really big angel of the Lord that we see until we get to Zechariah. And we may or may not go there, but Zechariah has some neat stuff dealing with the angel of the Lord that is prophetic, that connects. In fact, there's a very, almost a mystical passage that connects the four horses, which we see in the book of Revelation, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We see them standing among the myrtle trees with a man. The man then is acknowledged as the angel of the Lord. He's acknowledged as the voice of the Lord. It's a very interesting passage that I still wrestle with exactly how all of the dynamic in that thing was going on. But it's an incredible thing that Zechariah. So Judges chapter 13 is the beginning of the story of Samson. We're familiar with this, right? In this passage, the angel of the Lord is mentioned over and over and over and over again. The passage almost isn't about Samson, it's about the angel of the Lord. But there's some really cool things here. A couple really cool things. Number one, beginning of verse 3, it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her. This is a visible manifestation. She can see him. And we're going to see that through the rest of the passage. He appears to the woman. The woman's name is never given. I find that interesting. I also find it interesting that among his instructions to the woman, he's very specific, not just about abstaining from fruit of the vine. She's taking a Nazarite vow for the child. Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 6. Nazarite vows, Numbers chapter 6. And he is very specific about not eating anything unclean. And he says that twice. He says it a second time in verse 14, which makes me wonder, again, I'm wondering, this is speculation, was she a Gentile, or is it just because Israel was just that far gone in the book of Judges? And we see that everyone did what was right in their own eyes and that kind of thing. So he's very specific. Stay away from things that are unclean and stay away from grapes, essentially is what it is, which is interesting. But verse 6, his appearance was, she's reporting to her husband, and she says, his appearance was like the angel of God, another term, angel of the Lord, angel of God, that we will use and see somewhere else in Scripture that's important. But he comes on down. Manoah prays and asks, and God answers. And it says, the angel of God came again to the woman, verse 9, as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And so she detains him and says, she says, quick, let me go get my husband. And so she gets her husband, Manoah. Manoah follows and comes back. And verse 11, Manoah says, are you the man who spoke to the woman? And he said, I am. Very interesting. Very interesting. But this gets a whole lot more fun here in just a minute. So the angel of the Lord says to Manoah, and he goes back through the instructions to the woman and so on and so forth. And ultimately, verse 15, Manoah says to the angel, please let us detain you so that we may prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to Jehovah. For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. right? Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, listen to this, this is cool. He says, what is your name so that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? What was Jacob's request of the man that he wrestled with? What is your name? And he wouldn't answer him. We get an answer here, but this is cool. The angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Y'all get the riddle?
Well, wonderful is the Messiah.
His name is Wonderful Counselor.
Exactly.
He says, my name is Wonderful. And Manoah hears, wow, he's got a wonderful name. And Isaiah 500 years later says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he answers the riddle 500 years later.
In that passage, since there is no punctuation in Hebrew, is Wonderful and Counselor one description, or are those two different things? Because he sometimes is referred to as Wonderful without the Counselor. So is it Wonderful, one description?
Talking about Isaiah, the Isaiah passage? The Isaiah passage. I have always, you're correct. There is no punctuation, but we also see that everything else is sort of a two-word. El Gabor and forget the names of the others. But the point being that everything else seems to be this two-word descriptor, and so I've always seen it as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, where Mighty God would sort of be this. And then you've got Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, and Everlasting Father as the three parts of the Mighty God overarching. But that would be a great discussion all by itself. Go ahead.
What it says in 18 is that it is beyond understanding.
Which is the same thing as it.
Right. The Hebrew word though is the same word as wonderful that's farther along in Isaiah. It's the same word.
He
is. Yes. 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 In fact, there's a great 1 hour discussion that was on, God's Learning Channel from Southeast something or other. I forget the name of the rabbi that does it, but he talks about the virgin birth, and I would recommend hunting that up on YouTube. Let me see if I can find a link and send it to you, and you can send it out. Because it's a wonderful 1 hour discussion, and one of the verses that he hits is this one right here and connects it to Isaiah, and it's a wonderful, neat connection as he's pulling these words together. Very neat. Very neat. But he continues, and it says that Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to Jehovah. And he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came about when the flame went up from the altar toward heaven that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Skipping down, the next verse. Now the angel of the Lord did not appear to Manoah or his wife again. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to his wife, we will surely die, for we have seen God. The text is unequivocal on the point. The angel of the Lord that was manifest, that they saw, is God. There's just no debating, no discussion.
And this would have been the same repeat of what Moses saw.
This is what we've seen over and over. Yes, it's the same being. Scripture describes him exactly the same way, with exactly the same terminology, with exactly the same attributes, with exactly the same reception of worship, so on and so forth. So, we've got a foundation. Now, we understand who the angel of the Lord is, right?
Yeshua.
Any debate?
Sure.
Yeshua?
Yeah.
Let's go to Judges chapter 2.
I was praying to that, y'all. Ladies, bear in mind that it seems that the men did all the cooking.
I like to cook. I just don't have time to do it as much as I'd like. I do like cooking, though. I do like I'll tell you, the best place in Colombia, it used to be, it's not there anymore, the best place in Colombia to get good young kid, goat, was over in Little Mexico on St. Andrews Road. Their cabrito was just off the chain. I'm telling you what. We'd go over there to get that. It doesn't come any better than that. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. We're going to get serious here for just a second. Judges chapter 2. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. As for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me." What is this you have done? "Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they will become as thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept." Here's the point. Who said that? Yeshua. And he said, "You have not obeyed me, my covenant." When Yeshua says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," what is he talking about? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Let's look one other place very quickly. I want to watch the time here. Exodus chapter 14 for one other quick point, and then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. If we look at Exodus 13, verse 18, it says, "Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in the martial array from the land of Egypt." Here they are departing Egypt. They have not yet crossed the Red Sea. They're departing Egypt. It's after Pesach, and Pharaoh is running them out, and it says that God led the people. If you look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, it says, "The angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them."
I have a question. They saw him as a fire at night and a cloud during the day, but they didn't actually see him in this.
I would say they saw the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, yes. However, the description tells us who that pillar was. Yes, it's Yeshua. Right. So we see a different manifestation, yes, but I want to draw the connection with the fact that he is with them in the wilderness and he is leading them out. Again, we've already established that he was in the burning bush when he talked to Moshe, Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. We just established that he's with them as they're heading out into the wilderness. We know that the pillar of cloud is with them by day and the pillar of fire is with them by night, right? I mean, we're drawing this connection where he is there all the time. In fact, there's a passage of Scripture, and I've got to go find it, that talks about him walking through the camp on a regular basis.
And the cloud and the fire are the results of the meeting.
Right. Right. In fact, the rabbis say, one of the things that I had read, some of them agree that the angel of the Lord could look down from the fire, could look down from in the cloud. And so they recognize the presence of the angel of the Lord. They just don't recognize necessarily who the angel of the Lord is. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Here Moshe is invited to bring some friends. Not really quite like that, but he's to bring Aharon and Nadav and Avihu, his sons, as well as 70 of the elders, up onto the mountain. And if we turn to verse 9 and following, it says, Moshe went up with Aharon and Nadav and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and drank. The understanding being that they ate and drank with him. Shades, shadows, pictures of the upper room, the Last Supper, this desire of the King of Israel to be with his people and to break bread with them. And that time will come again at the marriage supper, right? But the point being, Yeshua is who they saw. Keep your finger here. I think what they see every time is the same person.
Yeshua.
I mean, he's not throwing a whole bunch of different manifestations at them. What Moshe, because Moshe would have recognized the angel of the Lord in the burning bush, and he would have recognized him on the mountain when he spoke with him. He understood. Right? When the one in the burning bush says, I am that I am. Isn't that what the one in the burning bush said? He said, I am. And he says, Yehovah is my name. Let's go back to Acts chapter 7, verse 38, where we began. Now, we began talking about the ecclesia, but there's something else in that verse that maybe you saw, maybe you didn't. Yesterday, while we were at Shabbat at Issachar with Dan and Julie and everybody else, I saw this, and I had it underlined, so I must have seen it some other time as well. But I saw this, and I emailed it across the room to Julie, and she burst out, she goes, that seals the deal. And I'm like, that's not the topic we're talking about. I wasn't trying to break up the room. Did you?
Yeah. Talking about
data. Yeah. He's like, what are y'all talking about?
We're talking about something totally different.
People say things in our discussion. We do great midrash discussion, debate. We're looking at scripture, and it triggers thoughts. And for me, I'll grab my Bible and I'll start running through some other trail down here looking at something. And it took me to this verse, and I looked at it and I went, it says right there that the angel who was speaking with him on Mount Sinai, talking about Moshe, it's talking about the angel of the Lord on Mount Sinai. Isn't that what it says right there? Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Stephen says, this is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness, together with the angel who was speaking with him on Mount Sinai. How cool is that? But I ask you again, if Yeshua was speaking with Moshe on Mount Sinai, and Yeshua is the one who gave the commandments, what does he mean when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? We don't keep them for salvation. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Ancient Near East treaties between a vassal king and a suzerain king. The vassal would express love for the suzerain by obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We keep the commandments to demonstrate our love. He forgives us when we err to demonstrate his love. But we don't take advantage or walk over the commandments because that is a show of dislove. Right? It's a little hard to give him a hug. Right?
Obedience is the result of our salvation.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
It naturally comes with it.
And we show love. There was a good discussion, and I put some stuff on my blog. It's been several weeks ago about the will of God. There's this question always in Christendom. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? You want to know what the will of God is? I'm going to show you what the will of God is.
In the passage,
righteousness, right here.
We often speak of a manifestation of Jesus with almost singular, one or two people. Mm-hmm. 70 elders.
70, yes. Was no, yes, it was, and we see it in front of all of Israel at Bohim, right? And we see it. So, we're running out of time. They're knocking on the door. Here's what I want to do. You've got
3 minutes.
And I'm going to take all three of them right now. We're going to move on with some other aspects of Yeshua in the Tanakh starting next week. But this really starts to give you some stuff to chew on with regard to how does the whole Word of God fit together? What's the significance of all of it? I want to close. I'm not going to close with prayer. I want to close with a blessing. And I'm going to sing the Aaronic blessing in Hebrew and in English. Yivrekeka Yehovah Vayishmerecha Ya'er Yehovah panavelecha vihuneka Yisa Yehovah panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Yehovah bless you and keep you. Yehovah make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yehovah lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. B'shem Yeshua Meshikenu, Sar Shalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Prince of Peace. Amen.